I was thinking of what through because again next we're going to do this next Thursday. So I was looking for in the minor prophets because they're usually smaller ones. So we're going to be in the book of Habakkuk. So funny, Habakkuk is one of the minor prophets, and not they don't call them minor prophets because they were anything less than any other prophets. Just their books are shorter. That's it. And I chose it because it's 2 weeks, and so we're hopefully we'll finish it up. But we're gonna be looking at Habakkuk. His name. Scholars not sure, but they believe that his name is it comes from the Hebrew word embrace. So he's one that embraces God. He's a little bit different from most of the prophets because he seems to be having a conversation. He seems to be directly talking, and I mean the other prophets did too. But he's like having this conversation. He's asking them questions, a little bit different than most of the prophets that just got the word from God and would profess it to the people. Habakkuk is actually sitting there and he's talking to God. He sits down and waits for his answer. He's embracing the fullness of what God is. He speaks to him. He asks some questions, and he waits for an answer. So it's more like a direct, like he's got him on the phone, that type of thing. So that's what that Habakkuk has got that little difference that he's sitting there like more of a conversation. Maybe the other prophets had it also, but the Bible actually shows this where he's actually having a conversation with God. So that's what Habakkuk is kind of towards the end of King Josiah's reign. He went through, he knew about the revival through King Josiah because he also, let's see, are you familiar with the book of Jonah where Nineveh, they repent and 75 years later they fall into sin again? Well, he goes through also the falling of Nineveh God comes and does judgment on them. He chastens them. He corrects them. So that's kind of where it goes into. And it's kind of funny because last night when I was studying this, some of what we're going to go into tonight reminded me of the terrorists of ISIS and Islamic extremists and this afternoon, before we came here, I turned on the TV and I said, "Whoa, that's kind of, you know, it's God speaking." But it kind of reminded me, and I'll go when we go through it, I'll point it out to you. But it was kind of weird last night when I was going through this and getting everything ready. Okay, so let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, we lift this evening up to you, Father, and we just pray. That you give us understanding and discernment of your word. Use me, Lord, and give me the words, Lord, and give understanding and discernment to my brothers, Lord, and that we may just not just hear, Lord, but also be examples of your word, Lord, for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, starts off and it says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Okay, so again, he's seeing, he knows about the revival that King Josiah had, and he's seeing his country fall back into sin. He sees nothing but evil. So he's looking at something that it's blowing his mind. He's not comprehending what's going on. I mean, he knows what's going on. He just doesn't understand what happened. Okay. So, verse 2 says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear, even cry out to you violence, and you will not save." Okay. Doesn't just by that verse, doesn't it seem like the world we're living in today? Doesn't it seem like what's going on today that that you know, he's going, he's saying, Lord, I'm seeing all this stuff, and I'm praying, and I'm waiting for you, and it seems like nothing's happening. It just seems to be getting worse. What's going on? He's what's happening? How come I'm crying out to you? I'm your prophet. I'm saying there's violence, and nothing happens. I can't. I don't see your hand moving in any of this. Okay. He's not angry. He's not doing in a bitter way. He's confused, as many of us are. We're confused. Like, what's going on? What's happening? How did this happen? So that's, he's asking a question again. He's having a conversation with God. Okay. So verse 3 says, why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Okay. When I was a kid, never in my wildest dream did I ever think that we would get to the point we are now, as far as injustice, as far as in just the evil that we see around. I mean, there's always been evil, but never have I ever seen, I never thought in my wildest dream that it would get to this point. That I would see the things that I'm seeing. Now, I never thought that. When I was a kid, I mean, every Sunday, as you were walking out your home, man, you turned around, the neighbors were going to church. See, everybody would go to a different church, but they were going to church. They were looking for the Word of God. And now it's totally opposite. I mean, people do come to church, but when I was a kid in the neighborhood I lived in, I mean, everybody was going. Everybody would be pulling out and going off to church. You know, sometimes the neighborhood kids, they would invite, you know, hey, we want to come with us today. Want to come? That's the way it was back then. How did we get to the point we are today? What happened? And that's what Habakkuk is saying. What happened? What's going on? How did we get to the point? And the thing is, we got to this point because of compromise. It's not that bad. Oh, that's okay. You know, it's not really that bad. It's not really all that wrong. Compromise. That's how we got to where we're at today. Because we let that little thing slide. We just let it slide and didn't think it was going to go much. A few years ago, there was a commercial on TV. I wish I could put my hands through the screen and slap the lady, but she's this, there's a commercial. She her kid comes down, tattooed up with earrings in his nose, on his eyes and his ears, dressed weird and makeup and stuff like that. And the commentary goes, the mom says, where are you going? And the kid goes, I'm going out with, to so-and-so's house. And who's going to be there? And he tells, so-and-so. And then the commentary says, let your kids be who they are. Just know who they're with. And I'm going like, what? What? What are you talking? Compromise. Just letting your kids do whatever they want. I remember when I was going to school, man, every first day of school, the first thing my father did, he would run to the principal's office and sign us up to get spanked. We're like, hold on, Dad, we didn't even do it. We haven't done anything wrong yet. Let us get in trouble first. You know? That was the first, and I'm like, take it easy. He was like running, and I'm like, calm down. I haven't done nothing wrong yet. Just stop. And, you know, and then he would tell the principal, he goes, send him home with a note, and after you're done spanking him, when he gets home, he will get it. We didn't do anything yet, but he would, every first day of the year, he would run to the office, sign us up for a spanking, and we're, dude, something's wrong. But there was nothing wrong. I mean, he was trying to keep us in line, and it was discipline. It's, we got to the point that we're at because we compromised with discipline. Okay? And it's as simple as that. That's why we're at the point we're at. Okay? Verse 4 says, Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surrounds the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgments proceed. Okay. Have any of you ever been part been sued or anything because of somebody? It seems like the bad guys have more rights than people that are doing the right thing. They got all kinds of rights, and the righteous rights are going lower and lower and less. It's perverse judgment. Okay, that's what it is. It's perverse judgment, guys. A few years ago, I wasn't even driving. I had my guys driving for me. And how many of you kind of know between on B Street between 7th and 8th Street, there's a couple of apartment buildings, and they're kind of like an incline. Okay. And there's a lot of drug activity goes around there. They were going to drive home. The day was done, and they're driving home, and they were going slow. They were really going slow. And this guy on a bike runs out into the middle of the street between parked cars, coming down a hill. My guy that was driving stopped. The guy slammed into my van, broke the windshield, and a bag of pot pops out of his jacket. The cops get there. They put him in handcuffs. The guy broke his neck, and you can tell that he ran into the van because there was nothing broken. The van wasn't nothing was dented on the van other than he broke the windshield when he flew into it. So if the van would have hit him, there would have been some kind of dent or something in it. There was nothing there. So this guy, I felt bad for him. I go, man, he's going to go to jail. He's got a broken neck. So, like a month and a half later, I get a letter from a lawyer. I'm being sued. The guy's suing me. I didn't even ask him to fix the window. I paid for the windshield myself, and I told my insurance company, I said, I don't want you guys to pay him 1 cent. I don't want you to pay him nothing. And because of the perverse laws that we have, it was easier for them to settle. They gave him $20,000. They paid him $20,000. He was looking for $100,000. I would see him walking down the street with his drug buddies, and he had a neck brace, and he's laughing, but he was claiming to be really hurt and couldn't get out of bed. How did we get to this point? Is it not true that we're at this point again where there's perverse judgment, where the laws are no longer useful to the righteous? We're at this point, okay? Okay, so verse 5, now God's answering him, okay? And this is where it gets kind of interesting, okay? So God's answering him, and again, I'm saying Habakkuk's got this relationship with God where he's talking to him, and he sits there and he waits for the answer. God's answering him. So verse 5 is answering him. God's answering him. He says, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told to you. I personally say, yes, Lord, now, please, now, do something, you know. So verse 6 says, for indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans is Babylon. Is Nebuchadnezzar is the he's prophesying that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in and take over the Jewish and take them away, take them captive, and he's going to destroy not all of them but a good part of them. Okay, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Okay. I don't remember if it was this Sunday or last Sunday. We were talking about how the world is all messed up right now, and it's my personal, and again, this is my personal belief that we need to be shaken up as a country, as a nation. Something really bad has to happen for the nation to wake up, okay? And I'm talking bigger than a 9/11. I mean, something bad really has to happen. And I forgot, who was I talking to? And they were saying, or a revival. Okay? Habakkuk had seen a revival. There was a revival, and it faded through King Josiah. He knew about the revival in Nineveh, and then they failed. 75 years later, they were conquered. They were destroyed. And my opinion, I don't think that we have the leadership that we need for a proper revival in this country at this point. I just don't see it. I hope and pray that I'm wrong. I hope that I am wrong, but I don't see it. I don't see that type of revival happening. I do see that we're at this point where there's perverse laws, where judgment is perverse. I see that. But I don't see us going into any type of revival mode at this point. I think that we as a church need to stay in the Word and keep praying and keep being the light to the world. I think we have to do that. I think there could be a revival through that. I just don't think we have, and I'm not talking about church leadership, I'm talking about the country leadership, the country's leadership. I think we have the leaders in the church to do it. I think the country, the leaders of the country, they just don't allow it. They wouldn't allow it. But I believe that it could happen. I just don't see it, you know? Okay. Verse 7 says, they are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. What does that mean? What is their judgment and their dignity proceeds from themselves? everything, when I was reading, I'm thinking, man, this sounds like the terrorists, like Islamic terrorists. Okay, have you guys ever stopped to think who they are, what they think of, how what their mindset is? It's all about selfishness to them. It's all about them going to heaven. It's all about them. Okay, that's the religion that they serve, a self-serving one, a selfish religion that serves them. It doesn't serve anybody else because they're killing everybody else. Okay, Christianity is about others. God's word is about serving others, even them. Okay? Their self-centeredness and their selfishness is all about them. Oh, I'm going to die. If I got a bomb, I'm going to have, how many is it now? 70 versions? How many do they need? Or 72? Okay. It's all about them. It's all about their selfishness. It does not have anything to do with the wealth, with the welfare, or not even of their own people, of the own Muslims, because they kill Muslims if they're not radicalized like them. So it's all about them. It's all about selfishness. On the other hand, Christianity, it's about loving everybody, even them. Okay? So I'm looking at this, and the judgment proceeds, their judgment and their dignity proceeds from themselves because they're selfish. That's who they are. That's what they are. Okay? That's what they're taught, and that's what they teach. Okay? So verse 8 says, their horses are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. Okay? I'm telling you, to me, these guys, this sounds like it's talking about the Islamic terrorists. Okay, it sounds to me that it's describing them. Okay, I'm not saying that's what it's saying because it sounds to me like that's who it's describing. Okay, they all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold. They heap up earthen mounds and seize it. Back then, during these days, during Habakkuk days, remember they had walls and they had fortresses. These guys, they would build mounds up against the walls. I mean, that's how gung-ho these guys were. They'd be killing them, but they'd still keep building until they built the mound high enough to where they could start climbing over it. I mean, these guys were. It's the same thing. They put on a vest, bombs. They killed themselves. These guys were crazy. So are the guys today. They're crazy too. I mean, it's nothing good. It's all again, selfishness, hatred, it's all self-serving. Okay. Okay. Verse 11 says, then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. Let's be clear. This prophecy is not for the United States. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's not for the United States, but there's a big similarity of what's going on. Please, nobody text Pastor Rob and said, "Hey, Oscar said that that Habakkuk was talking about the Islamic terrorists, and oh my God, the world's gonna end." That's not what I'm saying, guys. It's not this prophecy. This prophecy was for Habakkuk's time. It was for the Jews of that time. This is what the prophecy was for. I'm not going all Pentecostal and doomsday type thing on you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there's a big similarity. It reminds me one time. There's a guy. I'm going to tell you his name because you guys don't know him anyway. But his name is Abraham, and he's from the old church I was. This guy was a doomsday type guy. He was, all about the chip, and he would hear trumpets in Mexicali. Why in Mexicali, I have no idea, but he heard them in Mexicali. I don't know how he heard them all the way over here, but he heard them. So this guy, I'm a mobile detailer. I get my water in the mornings at Famous Ramona Water. So I drive up, and I walk through the, I pay at the window, I walk through the shop, and there's these guys there, and they're thinking that I'm still going to the same church, and they come up to me and they say, Oscar, is it true what Abraham said? And I'm going, what'd he say? What'd he say? And he goes, he said, and this was years, ago, it was 2011, and he says by 2012 that we're gonna have to have the chip. And I'm going, what chip? And they're going, the chip, the one about the Bible? And I said, well, I don't know what Bible he's reading, but if he was Christian, we're not going to be here. The people that are getting the chip, we're not going to be here. The people that stay, I said, you're probably going to stay, you have the chip, but the people that are Christian, not going to have the chip. So, they're going, oh, don't you go to the same church? And I said, no, we don't go to the same church anymore. I don't go to the same church where he does anymore. But I said, the dude's crazy. I mean, tell him to read the Bible properly. The Bible doesn't talk about the chip until after the rapture. Okay, so we're not going to be here. Again, you are, but I'm not. Okay, so, so that happened. So a couple years later, after 2012, the same guy comes up to me and goes, hey, but he's still saying about the chip. And in 2014, and I said, well, so what happened? What happened to 2012? Now it's 2014? And then he did it again. Now he says it's 2016. So we're in 2016. Has anybody got a chip? Anybody got a chip? Okay, I didn't think so. But he might have the chip. So this is the kind of, and you heard the trumpets, and I'm going like, guys, you guys really want, read the Bible. It's not, all that stuff's not going to happen until after the rapture. Again, I'm telling you, please don't text Pastor Rob and tell him, Oscar said, I didn't say that. This is a prophecy to the Jewish people back in the day of Habakkuk, 612 BC, somewhere around there. But there is a similarity of what's going on today. Okay? So, let me read to you something. Psalm chapter 9, if we can go there real quick. Okay? Psalm chapter 9. Verse 17 through 20. Okay. 9:17. Listen to what David says. Okay. And this is why I'm saying there's a similarity, and it's kind of crazy. Again, I'm not saying that it's gonna have, this is the prophecy for back then, but listen to what David says. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forgot God. All the nations that forgot God. What does all mean? All the nations that forgot God. Is this nation not forgetting God? Not, I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the leaders, the government. This is a nation that is trying to put God out of everything now. Okay? So, again, the wicked shall be turned to hell, and all the nations that forgot God. And this isn't a prophecy for it's just talking about all the nations that forget God, okay? So, for the knee shall not always be forgotten. The expectations of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know them. They may know themselves to be but men. Okay, is that not what we need right now? That's exactly what we need right now. We need the fear of God in the politicians, every single one of them. Okay. Okay. So I just thought, again, it's a prophecy for back in the day, but there are a lot of similarities of what's going on today. And as far as the evilness and the evil guys, it does sound a lot like the Islamic terrorists, okay? So, verse 12, here's another question, okay? And this is Habakkuk again. Again, he's trying to understand. He's not contending with God. He's just asking him a question. He has that relationship. He's asking him straightforward questions. And he says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. Okay, he says that because God promises that he's not going to destroy Israel completely. He's not going to do that. There will be a remnant. So he knows that. He knows the scripture, and he's saying, we shall not die. He knows that. So he's telling him that, I understand that we're not going to die, but what is it you're telling me? He goes on to say, O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. See what he's saying? You're gonna pronounce judgment on us, and you're going to correct us. But again, we're not all going to die. Okay, so he's understanding that there has to be judgment and there has to be correction. Just like I'm pretty sure everybody in this room understands that there has to be judgment and there has to be correction. There has to be. Okay, so verse 13 says, you are of pure eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those to deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? In other words, how are you going to use these mean, ugly, dirty people to pronounce judgment and correct your holy people? Okay? Again, don't we stop and think and say, God, these guys don't even believe in you. They don't know you. They don't want to know you. They're selfish. They're murderers. They're just bad, evil people. And you're using them. What's going on, guys? What are these terrorists doing? They're terrorizing the world. Okay? And God's allowing it. Okay? Same thing's going on here. He's going to use the Chaldeans to correct and pronounce judgment on his people. Okay, again, I'm not saying that they're going to come and attack the United States. That's not what I'm saying. But they are going to do something. This is to me, and my opinion, this is going to be the norm from now on. A terrorist attack here, a terrorist attack there. This is going to be the norm. Okay, when I was a kid, I didn't even know what a terrorist was. I was probably a terrorist to my parents, but other than that, I really didn't know what it was, you know. Or to the neighbor, when I would get into rose bushes and stuff like that, I probably terrorized her too. But not at this scale. You guys understand that? It's, again, how did we get to this point? What happened? See? And that's what Habby's saying, okay? Verse 14 says, why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? Have you guys, I don't know how I like fishing, but how many of you guys ever seen schools of fish on TV or something? They run around like crazy. It's nobody's leading them. They're just and you know, they're getting eaten up by tuna and yellowtail and swordfish, and that's why you go out there and try to catch them, but so they won't eat the little fish. But it's they're just crazy. But they're going crazy. There's no leader. There's nobody. They're not following anybody. They're just going all over the place. Here, as far as it says, like creeping things that have no ruler over them, you know how we got those pincher bugs that you lift up something on the floor and like 1,000 come up, and they're not going anywhere. Nobody's leading them. They're just going, you know, start stomping them. But That's what he's talking about here. It's just like there's no nobody's. They're not following anybody. They're not following God. They're not following any path. They're just going crazy. Okay. Verse 15 says, "They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net, and they gather them in their dragnet." Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. I think it was one of the times I was up here. Do you guys understand that fish are probably one of the most dumbest animals there is? You can catch them with no bait on a hook, just depending how shiny it is. You catch them, let them go, and you catch the same fish on the same hook. There's really no science to it. We make it. I mean, fishermen like me, we got the nice poles and everything, and we make it look like it's like there's some kind of secret to catching. There's no secret. If the fish is hungry, he's going to eat whatever's out there. You know, they're kind of dumb, and they're kind of mindless, kind of like us sometimes. We're kind of mindless, and we're not really paying attention to anything. So it's just a. I thought I'd share that with you guys. Okay. Okay, verse 16. Therefore, they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their dragnet. What does that mean? What does it mean that they sacrifice to their net and they burn incense to their dragnet? They attribute nothing to God. They attribute everything to their efforts, to their works, to their smarts. They think that everything is because of them and that the world revolves around them. Okay? Sounds like ISIS, right? They think everything they're doing, it's everything. They don't know God. They have no. They worship their own doings, and that's what they were doing. They're worshiping their own doings. They don't have any loyalty to God. They don't know God. They don't have any love for anybody else. They worship their own doings. Okay. And it goes on and says, because by them their share is sumptuous and their food is plentiful. Okay. So again, they're not looking to be humble in any way, shape, or form. Okay, there's no humbleness in them. They're not. Their heart isn't open to other people or any other type of pain, anything that's going on. There's no humbleness in them. Okay. Verse 17 says, "Shall they therefore empty their nets and continue to slay nations without pity?" Lord, are you going to allow this? You're going to let these evil men, these unhumble men, these unrighteous men, these selfish men, you're going to let them come and judge your people? You're going to let them come and correct them? Yes. Why? Because you walked away from God. That's why it's going to happen. You didn't listen to me when I gave you my love and gave you everything you needed. I warned you time and time again. You did not listen. So yes, I am going to let them come. And then you're going to see the difference between them and their hatred, their selfishness, their unhumbleness, compared to my love and my correction. And I'm going to let them judge you unjustly, and I'm going to let them correct you, because you pushed my correction aside and you pushed my justice aside. So yes, I am going to let it happen. That's basically what he's saying. Okay? So, and I'm going to go into chapter 2. And it says, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer. when I am corrected. So again, it may sound like he's actually arguing with God, or he's full of bitterness. I'm sure he's sad. I'm sure there's sorrow in him. And I'm sure he's not understanding what's going on. Just like all of us struggle sometimes with things that happen. We also, what's going on? What's happening when things are going wrong? Same thing with him. He's not bitter. He's not angry with God. He's just asking him questions. He has that relationship, and he's saying, you know, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to listen, and I know you're going to correct me, and I know you're going to tell me the truth, and I'm going to understand. Because I trust in you. Because all my faith is in you. Everything that makes sense to me isn't the same thing that makes sense to you, and I understand that. So I will wait upon you, and I will wait for you to answer me and correct me, so that way I can understand and see the full picture instead of just looking for what I'm looking for. About a year and a half. When did we go to the orphanage, babe? About a year and a half ago? 2 years? About 2 years ago, maybe the first time. The little town where my wife is from, there's an orphanage I don't know if the church is in Canada or up in Washington area, but the pastor goes up to Canada quite a bit, so I'm thinking their headquarters is in Canada. And I'm not sure what denomination or what church it is. It's not Calvary Chapel, but it's he's out there, and he's and they made a nice orphanage. And we met the pastor, we went up there a couple times to look around, see what was going on. They got a great, a beautiful program going for orphans. And Jenny and I, we tried to see if there was any way we could do anything or help or be of some type of service. Again, it's a little town where my wife is from. Her whole family lives there. Her mom lives there. So we're really familiar with the town. I even tried to start like a Bible study where I would go once a month at least, and do like a two-night Bible study. I tried to do that. And God closed the doors on me every time. He wouldn't even close the door on us. He wouldn't even let us help in any way, shape, or form in that orphanage or start a Bible study in that town. And I was going, what's going on? I mean, it's not anything bad that I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do something, and I know what's going on. But every time I tried to do, I didn't even have the time in the past 2 years to go down there. It used to be we would go at least once a month. And I think in the past 2 years, I've gone down there maybe twice. So God closed the doors on me. And Chenny was praying and said, Lord, if you want us to go help these orphans, I mean, do something or show us the way, open doors. They never opened. Okay? And Chenny would pray, send somebody. Send somebody for those orphans. They need somebody over there. A couple weeks ago, what's their names, Jenny? Isabel and Marcelino, their son, who lived in Virginia, sold everything, moved out here, and is going to go to that orphanage. We didn't know. We knew that one of his sons were going to go to Mexico to an orphanage in Ensenada. We didn't think in the little town, right? But what's crazy to me is, my logic isn't God's logic. My logic would have been for me, send me, because I'm here anyway, and I could, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump. No, God had some guy in Virginia sell his house, come down here, and then go to Mexico. That's God's way, and it's better than what I could have done, because the people know me down there. They know, there's two Pentecostal churches in there, and again, they don't like me, so... It was not going to happen with me. And this guy, by talking to him, we talked to him last Sunday. This guy is a different. He's more calm, more mellow. I would have been telling, listen, you do what I say, and you better listen, read it. That's, you know, because I know them and because they're family. I was just listen to me and don't. I don't care what you think. You got to think the way I think. So God knows what He's doing. He closed the door because I would have messed everything up. So he brought this other guy from Virginia, which makes no sense to me, but it makes perfect sense to God. See? So again, Habakkuk's just saying, none of this makes any sense to me at all. But I know that your sense makes more sense than my sense. That's what Habakkuk's saying. See? And believe me, it's happened to me too many times to where I know that he makes more sense than me. See? And I still wake up and say, me? I wouldn't even pick me. So that's just the way God works. He knows what he's doing, and that's what Habakkuk is saying. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. I know that you know better than I do, and I'm gonna wait for your answer, and I'm gonna let you correct me. He's expecting to be corrected. You know what I'm saying? He's not saying, what are you doing? I don't understand, and getting mad. He's expecting for God to correct him. He's expecting God. He sends everyone, okay, wait, but correct me. I want you to correct me. Let me open my eyes to what you see. Isn't that what we should do? Open my eyes to what you see. Open my eyes to your righteousness, to your justice, to your love, to your understanding, to your discernment. That's what it's about. Letting him guide us. Letting him teach us. And us sitting there and waiting for something good to happen. Because if we wait with that in our hearts, only good can happen. See? And that's what Habakkuk is doing. He's waiting. He knows something bad's going to happen, but he knows God's going to correct him. He knows that God's ways are better than our ways. Okay? So I am done this evening. But guys, if there's anybody who's never trusted the Lord that way, tonight's the night. If there's somebody that needs to open their heart to him and say, Lord, you know better than I do, step forward. There'll be somebody here to pray with you. I'll pray with you. Anybody up front will pray with you. And just don't leave. If you feel that I need to pray, I need to get right with God in your heart, or I need to just tell God, God, I want your way. I want to understand your ways. Don't leave tonight like that. Because it's God talking to you. It's God telling you, go ahead. I want the best for you. I want you to know me. I want you to understand my ways. Okay? Okay, guys, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. I pray again, Lord, that we may be doers of your word, Father. I pray that we may be lights to those who are lost. I pray, Father, that you just use each and every one of us, Father, that we may take your word to those who need it, Father, that we may be examples of your love and your truth and what you do with those who trust in you, Father. May you be glorified through all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.